Welcome to our 21-day Overwhelming Victory podcast, where we discuss scripture from the Bible. We pray that this will inspire and encourage you in your walk with God. Let's take a listen to episode 20.
Hello, everybody. I'm back with today's scripture. We're reading from John chapter 8.
It's not verse a radio.
From 2. At dawn, he appeared again in the temple court. Bam, he appeared, where all the people gathered around him and he sat down to teach them. The teachers of the law and the Pharisees brought in a woman caught in adultery. They made her stand before the group and said to Jesus, "Teacher, this woman was caught in the act of adultery. In the law, Moses commanded us to stone such women. Now, what do you say?" They were using this question as a trap in order to have a basis for accusing him. But Jesus bent down and started to write on the ground with his finger. When they kept on questioning him, he straightened up and said to them, "Let any one of you who is without sin be the first to throw a stone at her." Again, he stooped down and wrote on the ground. At this, those who heard began to go away one at a time, the older ones first, until only Jesus was left with the woman still standing there. Jesus straightened up and asked her, "Woman, where are they? Has no one condemned you?" "No one, sir," she said. "Then neither do I condemn you," Jesus declared. "Go now and leave your life of sin." Bam, don't mess with Jesus.
So
don't try and trick him. Don't try and trap him.
No, exactly. I love it.
And the greatest observation from this is that they left one by one, the oldest first.
Yep.
Mm. How
did
they know
that? Write? What did he write?
Yeah, no, that's a good one too. Yeah. Their names.
I always thought about, "Let he who is without sin throw the first stone." I was like, well, the older ones have lived longer, so by numbers, they've probably sinned more.
Probably. It came to their mind quicker, like, oh, yeah, that's
right. Yeah, I've done that.
But the only one that had the right to throw the stone was Jesus.
Yes.
And that's the power in that last statement.
Yep.
I'm the only one left, and yet I don't condemn you.
Yeah.
I'm the only one that could, and yet I don't.
Yes. Oh, so
powerful. And again, the victory over condemnation and shame. It's a pretty powerful picture.
Yeah.
Like she's been dragged, she's surrounded by these voices accusing her until every voice is silenced.
Yeah. Amazing. And then, you know, a woman caught in adultery, then she's brought, like, what was she wearing? What was she looking like? You know, what was the scene of shame?
Exactly.
You know, to have all of these accusers around her ready with stones. I mean, the thought of death, you know, over her actions and imagine her feelings. And yet Jesus just stood for this woman. Like, how much more can God say about how much he loves us, wants to transform us, wants to protect us? I mean, you just, surely that story's enough. But there's so many situations where God turns up, and when the world would condemn and accuse and criticize, God says, "I love you.
Yeah.
Let me transform you. Go sin no more." There, to me, is a word of empowerment.
Exactly.
That this woman went in the power of that word to sin no more. But then I've often thought, well, where's the guy?
Right.
Yeah, totally.
Where's the guy being bored and
takes
stoned?
Takes two to commit adultery.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Anyway.
I love that picture of love because it's overwhelming grace and mercy. But there's no endorsement of wrong behavior.
No, that's
God,
right.
God doesn't shift who he is.
Yeah.
And that's a powerful picture of love. Love doesn't mean endorsing.
Yeah.
Love so doesn't mean changing truth.
Yeah.
Bam. Truth is truth. Bam. Truth is God's word.
That's right.
But you can still stand in truth, not moving from truth, but extend love into places of sin. And I think that's
absolutely.
That's such a powerful picture.
Yes.
And then, you know, she's there surrounded by there's the other thought I was having, surrounded by accusers. Who's the accuser of the brethren?
Yep.
Yeah.
It's the devil. That's a picture of the devil.
It is.
Totally.
But how powerful this victory is, that Jesus shuts down the accuser and releases this, like you said, empowers this woman.
Yeah.
She walks away stronger than she came into that
day.
And that's the power of love.
Yeah.
Totally. And I think it's a powerful story for me to think about because I think shame does actually hold a lot of us back from daring to believe that we could be victorious.
Yeah.
And so maybe our shame isn't as public.
Mm.
Like I imagine that being surrounded by those voices is actually internal for most of us.
Mm-hmm.
But like I'm used to talking about this with teenagers, but how often it's like, do you go to lift your hands and worship and then all of a sudden you're reminded of where and you feel like, oh, how could I You know, you feel like a hypocrite. But that's the voice of shame. Yep. That's the voice of condemnation. And so I begin to think about, just any of our church family. And it's like God's speaking to you about victory, but you rule yourself out because of those voices. It's time for those voices to be silenced by the voice of victory, which is Jesus himself.
Yep.
And he sets us free from that. There is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, and that's us.
Yeah.
Simple as that. Believe it.
So good.
Thanks for listening to our 21-day Overwhelming Victory podcast. We pray it inspired and blessed you. Tune in tomorrow for the next episode.